And you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog at Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I'm excited to have another amazing woman on the show who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hey to Michelle. Hey, how's it going today?
Hi, Pam. I'm Michelle Dilo, and it's going pretty good.
Good.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm kind of having a lazy day. I've been inside all day watching Netflix, kind of taking advantage of my downtime. And it's not too very cold here. For our listeners, Michelle and I are both in upstate New York, but still about 4.5 hours apart from each other because New York is such a big state. But I'm really excited to have you as a guest today. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what you do to keep busy?
Sure. Well, my name is Michelle Dilo, and I am a recent graduate from Buffalo State College, and I have a degree in dietetics and nutrition, and I'm currently working on preparing to take my registration exam. And then I'll be registered to work as a dietitian. And I currently work at a hospital as an ambassador, which is a person who takes orders and brings up their meals to each room. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that a lot recently. That's pretty much all I'm doing currently. I don't really have a whole lot of time free.
That I can relate to that. That's kind of what it was like for me way back when I went to college. What got you interested in diet and nutrition work?
Well, a few things got me interested. One is that my aunt has colitis, and also when I went to Erie Community College, I took a nutrition course, and I thought it was super easy. Of course, it's really not, but that course I took was, like, easy. And then also, throughout my life, I've developed IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, and I wanted to learn more about how I could control my illness and how what you eat is linked to your health. And the more I got into it, the more I thought it'd be really cool and interesting, and I love to help others. So I thought, what the better career choice?
Yeah. So you said you're studying for your registration. So is that like a license that you need to practice?
Technically, it's just my registration to work as a dietitian, although there is a New York license that I don't really need to get it, although I am going to. And really, it's just an application that I mail in with some cash.
Yeah, always the catch, right? So, how do you find stuttering to be in your chosen field? I mean, like, working with diet and nutrition and clients, you must be talking to people all day, right?
Well, I don't really do that yet because I'm not in my career yet. Although when I work at the hospital and I have to go to each room and ask if they've ordered, like that's a lot of talking. And I guess it takes time to get used to my job and what I have to do. Like when I started, I was really nervous and I think I was stuttering more on words at that time. And then over time, I just practice and it's kind of turned into like a pattern. And like, I use a lot of the same words. So I've had like, practice. But like, in the beginning, I was just really scared because I don't only have to take the orders, I have to call the order in. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to use the phone. So that was like really scary. But what helped me a lot was that I communicated with my co workers and I told them that I have a stutter and that helped me to be a little less like worried and stressed that they're going to hear me stutter. And now almost all of my co workers know, so I can actually enjoy going into my job and not like have all this stress and tension all the time.
Oh my
It's
God,
really great.
I can so relate to that. I remember sometimes obsessing over how were people going to react if I stuttered. That was like always one of my big worries until I finally realized through maturity and meeting other people who stutter that most people don't care. Like I was worried about it so much more than anybody else. They may not have even noticed. Is it kind of like that for you too?
Like I used to be a really super covert stutterer, and so I've had this habit of choosing my words wisely, and so at times I still change words, but I try not to. And also, like when I'm at work, I tend to use like a higher pitch, and that actually helps a lot. 'Cause it's kind of like I'm acting, kind of.
Okay. And you do that intent you do that intentionally?
Yes. Well, yes and no. Like, I know that changing the pitch and tone of my voice kind of helps the words come out. Although, I do it so I come out sounding happier and like more, chipper, because I want the patients to be happy too. So I try to make them happy and smile.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you discovered that because like you said, like acting, like a lot of people who stutter that eventually get into the arts or drama, they find that when you take a different persona on, you can change the tone and pitch just like you said, and you don't stutter as much. It's funny. I did Toastmasters, which is a public speaking club, for many years. And that's one of the things that I learned to do as well, is alternate my pitch. And like when I'm speaking in front of a group and I project my voice more, I stutter less. It's interesting. I stutter more like one-on-one and like in small group conversations, but in a large group, I can control it. It seems pretty much the same as you just described it. That's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Have you ever had a patient, like react negatively or make you feel uncomfortable or anything?
Well, I think I've had one or two that like possibly laughed because they didn't know why I was stuttering on a word. Or when they ask me my name and I stutter on that, then they kind of like laugh because, they're uncomfortable and they don't know like what's going on. But I've also had patients that actually knew what was going on, and I was shocked because
Wow.
usually that doesn't happen.
Right. So
So.
they recognized your speech pattern as stuttering.
Yes. And I had like one or two tell me that they used to stutter because they were like older. Do
So how do
that.
you feel when someone says that I used to stutter? Like, I don't know. I sometimes think that that's a little like trivializing my stutter. Like if somebody says, "Oh, I used to stutter, but I don't anymore," it kind of makes me feel a little weird. Like maybe if I tried harder, I wouldn't stutter.
Or like that they're trying to tell me that they grew out of it when they got older, maybe.
Yeah, like maybe trying to offer you some hope that
Yeah.
eventually, yeah.
Because everyone kind of looks at me as if I'm like 12 and I'm not.
Oh.
So they're probably like, "Oh, you'll grow out of it," kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you're young looking, so people kind of like ascribe certain things to you just based on your appearance, which really isn't
Yes.
fair, but
Yeah.
people do that in life, right?
Definitely.
So what was it like growing up? Did you ever participate in speech therapy?
Yes, I did. Kind of. When I was a kid, I think in about, I think it was fourth grade, I had a speech therapy class, as they called it, in school, and the lady like told me to talk slower, and I was just like, "No, this is ridiculous." So it didn't last a long time, and that's probably when I started my covertness, and then. For many years, I just avoided talking in school. And then it wasn't until I got out of high school and like around like age 22 that I went to another speech clinic and started working on like modification techniques and all that. And then I switched again when I went to my 4-year college because they had a clinic on campus which
Oh.
was free to students. And I was like, hey, it's free. So I might as well do that. And that helped me a lot, but because we didn't just go over the modification techniques, we also worked on acceptance and disclosure. So that is pretty much when things started to turn around.
So your four-year college, they have like a communication sciences program. So like, you were working with like student therapists?
Yes. Yes, I was.
That's nice to hear that it's free.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Free is good. I mean, you get helped, and the therapists in training get experience working with real people who stutter. So I know that you are involved with the NSA, the National Stuttering Association. Tell me a little bit about that. I think I heard that you started a chapter.
Well, there was a chapter in Buffalo, New York already, but it was on like a 2-year hiatus or something when I was asked if I'd be interested in co-leading the chapter. And I was actually asked by the director at the Speech Clinic if I wanted to be a co-leader. And I was possibly a little bit scared in the beginning because I didn't know what to expect. But it definitely has helped me with leadership skills and to help talking in front of a group or a crowd. And in the beginning, it was three of us co-leading, and then now it's two because one moved home to the Bronx.
I hope.
So now it's two of us. And we meet every month, and we actually we switch on and off having our meetings at one campus and then on another campus the month after. Yeah. So the reason why is because one of my co-leaders was also looking to start the chapter up too, and she didn't know that we were already planning on it. So we just we combined locations, kind of. And also, plus having two locations kind of like helps to get more people to come if they live closer to one or the other.
So you alternate, like one month it's on like campus A and then the next month it's on campus B, something like,
yes,
like that?
Yep.
And is it just for college students, or can anybody from the community attend?
Anyone in the community. Well, anyone that's 18 plus.
Okay.
In the community. Yep.
So yours is strictly an adult chapter.
Yes. Although I have heard that there is going to be a family chapter starting, I think, in January.
Oh.
Although I'm not the leader of it, though. This other lady is, which I think is cool. She has a kid who's the daughters. Mm-hmm. So that's how she heard of that.
Yeah. That's great. Do you get a good number of people coming to your meetings every month, or does it like vary?
It does change a lot due to when school is happening and like when there's tests and stuff. But I'd say that we get more at campus B than campus A.
All right.
And I'm not sure why, but I think it's just because the campus is larger and more, I guess, more familiar to others, like the parking and stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to park on campus A.
Now, is this Buffalo University like part of the State University of New York, or is it a private college?
They're both public
Okay.
colleges. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to like gauge like the size of it. We have the State University of New York at Albany here, and it's mammoth. It's so big, and there's quads, and there's like quarters, and there's different places that you can park, and there's underground stuff, and it's just like, oh, I don't ever go there unless I absolutely have to. So being that you've been an NSA chapter co-leader, have you ever attended any of the NSA's annual large conferences?
Yes, I have. I've gone to the last two conferences, the one in Florida last year, and then the one prior, which was in Chicago, Illinois. And I definitely hope that I will be attending the next one that's in Orange County, California, because once I started going, like I just want to keep going. So I'm hoping that I can.
Yeah. So what was your first time like? I mean, everybody has like their first timer experience.
Well, I definitely took their recommendation, and I did not hang out in my hotel room the whole time.
Yay.
But I didn't go to as many workshops as I was hoping, because the friends I made there wanted to go out and explore. So I was out of the hotel more than in the hotel. But then when I went to Florida, it was the other way around, and I was in the hotel more. And like it was a really good time to go to all the workshops, because it was hard choosing which ones to go to, because they were all really interesting and like fun. And of course, I made more friends last year too. And so every time I go, it's like a little reunion.
Yeah, it's fun, right? Like
Fun. Yeah.
you really make some like lifelong connections with people. Do you stay in touch with any of the friends that you've met there?
Yeah, we're actually friends online. The one girl that I met in Chicago is possibly gonna be hosting me in California because she lives there, and that way I won't have to break the
Right,
bank as
right.
much.
Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah, so you guys would just like stay, you know, sleep at her place and just go back and forth. That makes a lot of sense because they can get a little pricey.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So, do you remember, like, what was a particularly favorite workshop?
They were all really good.
Did you?
I really did like the ones where you were able to talk. The open mics are really enjoyable because it gives you an opportunity to talk in front of a huge crowd. And I thought it'd be really scary. But I talked at my first conference, and the crowd was about maybe 50 people. And I was like, wow, this is larger than any class I've ever had to talk in front of. And I was like, this is actually pretty easy because I was comfortable because I wasn't worried that I was going to be judged.
Right. That's
So,
amazing how that can like put us at ease, right?
yeah.
Yeah. Did you do any of the young adults things? Like I know the young adult program, like I know every year they do like the advertising and you go out on the street and you know, I remember I didn't like that my first time. Did you do it?
I did the advertising in Florida. Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. There was an iguana walking around. So I got to take a picture of that, but it was good. There was only a couple people that tried to like finish sentences and I don't know, just weren't really into talking to us. But everyone else was nice and they were listening and actually wanted to talk. So it went pretty well, but it was also really hot. So I was like sweating the whole time, but it was good.
No, I can relate. And of course, Florida was the infamous loss of power for like all day and then a couple hours, one of the next morning. So yeah, you're right. It was so hot. You know, I've been to a couple of the NSA conferences. It was in Scottsdale, Arizona twice. And it's been in two different cities in Texas too. And oh my God, it's just so unbelievably hot in those areas. In Scottsdale, Arizona, the first year in 2009, it was like 118 degrees during the day. It was just like insane. Like everybody was like, oh, but it's a dry heat. It's not humid like it is on the East Coast. And I'm like, it's still hot. Very, very hot.
Do you
So,
still sweat a lot there because of the dry heat?
yes. But because like Scottsdale is kind of like an upscale place, almost everywhere that we went outside, like we walked to restaurants and stuff, they had like these misters all over the place that you would get like, you know, cool misted with water. And you were constantly encouraged to bring bottled water with you. But yeah, I mean, you did sweat because it was just, no matter how you look at it, 118 degrees is hot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Have you given any thought to like maybe doing your own workshop at a conference?
I was thinking about maybe doing one this upcoming year, but I'm not sure exactly what I would do it on because I wanted to kind of relate stuttering to nutrition, but I don't know if I can really do that directly because There's not really a whole lot of the foods or drinks that affect baking. So I don't really know if I could really go that route, but I could link it to, you know how like anxiety and depression are linked to stuttering, and I can link nutrition to anxiety and depression. So it's not a direct link, but I mean, it's kind of linked, you know?
I do know, and I think a lot of people would actually like be interested in that because I believe that there's a correlation between how I feel and how I speak. So if I feel physically fit and healthy, I tend to be more confident. But if I'm sluggish and eat a lot of junk food or a lot of processed food and really don't exercise much, I don't feel as good about myself. So you could probably find ways to tie that in. And maybe even talk about, I've heard some people discuss like the benefits of theremin. It's one of the vitamin B group that like a lot of people take that because they think it does help with their with their speech. I would encourage you to explore that because it would be something different. And that's one of the things that we try to do at the NSA is like get new voices to be heard and new ideas. So I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, we'll see. I just need the time to really, dive into that because right now, like with preparing to take my exam, it's taking up like all my free time.
I
But
bet.
hopefully once that's over and I, have that taken care of, then I can start planning the rest of this year or next year.
Yeah. When are you taking the exam?
Well, I actually don't have it scheduled yet. But yeah, soon, probably within like a month or so.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And then what do you hope to do career-wise, work-wise? Where do you hope to go with this, with your certification?
Well, I am hoping to start in a hospital, like doing clinical nutrition. And I'm gonna do that for maybe like 2 years, maybe three. And then my long-term goal is to be doing outpatient nutrition, either through the hospital or at a private practice or a health community place. And I also want to get my certification to do diabetes education.
I was just
That's
gonna
a
say, yeah, I was just gonna say, I'm diabetic, and I've met with a diabetes educator several times, and I thought at first like, she's gonna tell me stuff that I already know, but it was very informative and very educational, and helped me realize, like, really see that the junk that I eat and the carbs
Yeah.
absolutely affect diabetes. So that would probably be something that would probably give you a lot of satisfaction.
Definitely. And from what I know, it's growing in America. The numbers are going way high. And I see it all the time in the hospital, and it just breaks my heart because it's like you could have prevented all these issues that you have, and now that you're in the hospital with limbs that are missing, and it's just so sad.
It
But
is,
yeah.
it is. Like, uncontrolled diabetes can lead to kidney
Yeah.
failure. Just like you said, limb amputation, it affects your vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, it sounds like you kind of have like the whole world within reach, and you just kind of have to decide to where to go and what will make you happy. So kind of like last question and wind down mode. What advice would you have to a teenage girl or a young woman just coming to terms with her own stuttering journey?
Well, I know that when I was a teenager, I did not have the support that I needed, but it is really helpful to find those that will support you if they're friends, family, even co-workers, teachers. Anyone really, because having the support will help you to get through the tough times, and I think it's really important to disclose to those that you are around a lot, so you're more comfortable talking, and you don't have to worry or stress that they're gonna hear you and oh no, you're gonna come out, and to just try really hard to let your uniqueness be a positive blessing in your life and not look at it as if it's the end of the world, and you're this weird person because you stutter. We all have a complication in life, or we all have a challenge, and we just have, a little trouble talking at times, and it could be a lot worse, but that's all we have. And as long as we have each other, then really, who cares what others have to tell us? Whoever, tries to crack jokes, it's really not them, the person that they're cracking the joke at. It's the person that is creating the joke that has the
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wise words from an inspiring young woman who's going places. Thank you so much, Michelle. It was so much fun having you as a guest today. Thanks for sharing parts of your story.
Yes, thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun and I hope to talk again.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Namana.